On Friday, September 28th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 11th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event is not possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Think Realty, Wilson Investment Properties, Coach Fullerton, First Lending Solutions, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and see Amazon Prime or YouTube for past events.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and our special guest today is Steve White. Steve is the president of the California Association of Realtors. He's been a realtor for 32 years and is co-owner of Keller Williams, VIP Properties, and Pathway Escrow, both in Valencia, California. He is also co-owner of Keller Williams Realty Central and Closing Solutions Escrow, both in Northridge, California. He served in numerous other leadership positions for local, state, and national associations of realtors. And Steve, we welcome you to our show.
I appreciate the opportunity to join you today, Bruce.
So we're going to talk about some pieces of legislation. And I guess first I wanted to know, what is the process of getting legislation on the ballot?
Well, in California, you can gather enough signatures to place a qualified initiative on the ballot. And that varies, the number of signatures varies depending on the turnout for the previous election. So we spent quite a bit of effort and money, frankly, to qualify what is now known as Proposition 5 for the November 2018 ballot for this year.
When that goes up for vote, what does it take to pass? Is it a simple 50% majority?
It is.
Okay. All right. So Prop 5, we'll talk about it kind of in chunks of the people that it affects, seniors. When a senior moves to a new location, the way the current laws are, they would forfeit their low tax base now and pay the normal tax rate on their new home.
So in many cases, yes, in many cases that is true.
Okay. Now you say many cases. There are some exceptions already in place?
There are some exceptions. The voters in California passed Proposition 60 some years ago, which would allow a senior homeowner, 55 and older, and disabled folks, 55 and older that own a home, to sell their primary residence and purchase another property within the same county as they live. And there are 58 counties in California.
Okay.
However, they must purchase, they cannot purchase even $1 more. Their new home cannot be even $1 more than their previous property. Otherwise, they cannot transfer their tax bases.
Okay. And they can't go to another county. Is that correct?
The voters passed Proposition 90 soon after Proposition 60, which would allow senior and disabled homeowners to transfer their tax bases on the same terms as Proposition 60 to another county that would accept their tax bases. And currently, out of 58 counties in California, only 10 allow that transfer. So simply put, Proposition 60 and 90 just aren't working. Therefore, we introduced the Property Tax Fairness Initiative in order to prevent this moving penalty for seniors and disabled homeowners. And more importantly, in the current news, may be the fact that disaster victims whose homes have been severely or totally damaged from disasters would be able to do the same as the seniors and the disabled.
When, let's say I'm a senior, I'm parked in a home with a lot of equity, and I realize that if I sell this home, okay, my tax bill is going to go through the roof very likely. So what? How does that alter my decisions? What do I decide to do typically?
Well, in many cases, California seniors and disabled folks that are looking to move, they're looking to move closer. They're downsizing most often, looking to move closer to children, grandchildren, and healthcare. Important moving decisions are made based on that because people are living longer, and people with a tremendous amount of equity are also aware that they are going to have to, in many cases, pay capital gains tax, and they can pay that from the real equity that they have in their home. Where they're hesitant and sometimes outright scared is to subject themselves to a much higher property tax bill on the fixed income that they're on, because people are living longer. People just don't know how long they're going to live. And the real fear with many seniors and disabled folks is they're going to outlive their money.
Sure. So in essence, they just stay put. They decide not to do something.
And often when they stay put, they're kind of frozen in a home where they may have raised their family, a 3, 4, 5 bedroom home that's much larger than they actually need. This freezes in place so-called family homes that tens of thousands of Californians are, young families are ready, willing, able, and qualified to purchase. If those homes were freed up, it would go a long way towards solving the housing supply crisis here in California.
Do you find that, since that's their only decision at this point, that are we losing seniors to other states that they feel more comfortable with the tax base that they end up with?
I believe that to be true, Bruce, and we've seen that time and time again. In many cases, their families have moved out of state. But for those seniors that want to stay within the state, there's 40 million Californians now. And for those that want to stay within the state, this moving tax penalty is very, very real and very scary for many seniors and disabled folks.
People that oppose Prop 5, what's their side of the argument?
Well, their side of the argument is that it will reduce property tax revenue in the receiving county. County where people purchase a new home, and the legislative analyst's office in Sacramento is charged with giving an analysis, a financial analysis on each proposed initiative. And unfortunately, the data that they used to analyze Proposition 5 is flawed.
Yeah, I actually read that actually today. It was exciting.
the information, they're not taking into account at all all of the economic activity that happens around a home purchase. People remodel, they put carpet, paint, re-roof, re-landscape. All the economic activity that we know in the real world happens around home purchase and sales. They're not doing what we call a real world dynamic analysis. They're only doing a static analysis. They're only looking at what the so-called loss would be on the tax revenue on the home that's purchased. And another myth that's out there surrounding our Proposition 5 is the opposition, because they have a weak position, continue to say that they keep focusing on the fact that they believe that this would allow wealthy people to purchase a more expensive home. And the overwhelming majority of seniors that own homes in California, frankly, are not wealthy people. They're middle-class people that own homes, and these are mom and pop that need to move, as I said previously, closer to children, grandchildren, and healthcare. This would allow seniors, disabled folks, and disaster victims to purchase a home of any price anywhere in the state of California and bring their Proposition 13 tax assessment with them. And to the extent that they purchased a more expensive home, let me clear that up. If somebody sold a home, say, for $600,000, which is our median price in California now, they were to sell a home for $600,000, and they were to purchase a home for $900,000, they're going to be able to transfer their tax basis to the first $600,000
okay.
of that new purchase. But they have to pay market rate for the remaining $300,000 because that's fair.
Sure.
They would pay their fair share.
What's interesting about the receiving argument is that that county will also be on the opposite end of that as well, many times.
That is actually true.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that the Legislative Analyst's Office only does these analysis one way. So the voters of California and Californians in general simply do not get the true real world picture of any initiative based on a static analysis.
I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, and it's just interesting because I happen to know the numbers, and I called him to confirm this morning. I had a friend named Glenn, whose mom passed away 2 years ago. She lived in this home for 40 years on the beach. So she bought it for $75,000. Her tax bill gradually went up to $3,300. So when she passed away, Glenn sold the home. So the new buyer will have a $20,000 tax bill.
Correct.
So if she had made that exchange, she would have bought a less expensive home, let's say. And
yes.
Let's say she stayed in the same county. She would have a less expensive tax bill, but the $20,000 would have still been realized on the new purchase, and her
Absolutely.
$3,000. So it seems like there's a chance for more of a bump up. So I don't really think the argument holds water. Plus, the other thing is true. So the senior now can say, okay, I can move. I'm not afraid of the tax bill. You might have a builder say, okay, there's going to be more demand for this stuff. And so they might actually be able to build something that they wouldn't have before because they just simply knew the senior couldn't make the transfer because of the tax, and now they
could. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because by the legislative analysts' analysis alone, they show that the thousands of new transactions would happen annually because of the passage of Proposition 5. And currently, we're at an annualized basis of 409,000 sales in the state of California. And our data shows, very similar to what the Legislative Analyst Office is saying, that tens of thousands of transactions would be roughly 43,000. That's an 11% increase in numbers of transactions in a state where the numbers of sales for a state of 40 million people currently is the same number that 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when the state was half the population that it is today. We're really in a housing crisis in California, and our unaffordability is driven in large part by the unavailability of properties for sale. This would free up badly needed inventory for young families that are ready, willing, able, and qualified to purchase and pay those higher taxes.
You know, we just interviewed the president of the California Builders Association, and I asked him this question. I said, what's the basic difference in building in California and another state? He says, okay. He said, in Texas, this is the question I have to ask myself. What's the economy going to be like next year? He said, in California, I have to ask, what's the economy going to be like in 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
And he was serious.
Yeah.
He was serious. So that's, you know, we do have an affordability crisis, and I think we probably have a supply problem because we really just aren't encouraging builders to build product. And so I guess there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that you kind of have to solve. And it's one of the things that's frustrating is when you're just a citizen, you're looking at the arguments back and forth, is that doesn't seem to be always the the willingness to reach across the aisle and say, we have to actually create a practical solution to this.
We do. And, the supply of homes available for sale in California is extremely low. Even as the market cools a little bit now, I was in the Central Valley yesterday, and you're looking at counties like Fresno and Madera and Kern, Kings County, and in that area, they only have roughly 3 months of supply of homes on the market. In other words, if no other homes came on the market starting today, it would take a little over three months to sell everything that's available now. And economists tell us that a normal market, where it's not a seller's market, it's not a buyer's market, but a normal market, is 6 to 7 months. And the Central Valley is an area where there traditionally is more inventory than other areas in the state, where we still have in many areas of the state, 1 month supply of homes on the market. And that's just driving prices up exponentially and causing, adding to the unaffordability here in California.
I really like the other two parts of the bill, the disabled. Let's say you had an event in your life that either was a progression of what you already had, or you became disabled in an accident. You could also make that same transfer. Your current residency obviously is not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to adopt to it for perhaps, and so now you can sell it and go and still have your tax base where you can survive.
That's true.
I don't see any reason why somebody would vote against that.
That is absolutely true. And those the disabled folks do not have to be 55 or older, because accidents happen at any age. And in particular, that demographic does often need to move closer to health care. And then let's talk about the disaster victims. I mean, in last year, in 2017, 10,000 homes in California were destroyed by fire. Entire communities were destroyed by fire. People have to move to a different community.
Sure.
Sometimes a different county. And we don't even know the tally of the number of homes destroyed in fires this year, because in many areas of California, they're still burning. So to slap those folks with a moving tax penalty is simply not fair.
Yeah, I completely agree. Is that, do we have a sense of where the vote is likely to land? Is it predominantly positive?
It's really interesting when the polling is very favorable for our initiative, specifically once when we were formulating this, once we added disabled and disaster victims and then limited it to seniors, the polling jumped way up. I mean, these are folks that are often on fixed incomes, middle income people, tens of thousands all over the state of California. So the polling is very favorable. And I will add that at the time, yes, we have some labor groups that have come out and said that they are against this. But we hear from their rank and file that, hey, the leaders of our union have said that they're opposed to Proposition 5, but I'm voting yes. This is good for me, or this is good for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hearing that all over the state of California. And it's very, very interesting that to date, there is not an organized opposition campaign currently in the state of California.
It's getting a little late, so they might not going to be showing up.
No.
Just quickly on Prop 13, there was talk of doing a split roll for commercial properties and residential. Is that, there's nothing on the ballot this year for that?
It's coming.
Okay.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we have, the California Association of Realtors has already submitted for title and summary another initiative for the November 2020 ballot that would deal with what we call the shenanigans of transfers of commercial properties, where quite often those properties are held by corporations. They sell stock. They sell stock in their corporations. That's how they transfer the property. And they do it in very, very crafty ways, shenanigans, we call it.
Okay.
That allow them to transfer their properties to a new owner. And if that was a primary residence, it would trigger a reassessment. They would have to pay higher taxes. And with these shenanigans, they're able to get around the intent of Proposition 13.
Okay.
To the detriment of homeowners in California. So our initiative for the November 2020 ballot would clear up those shenanigans. And it would keep commercial properties that are owned, in many cases, again, mom and pop, who had a couple rentals and they sold them and transferred them into an apartment building.
Right.
And this is their, you know, this is their retirement. Mm-hmm. Split roll would automatically raise the taxes on that and make it unaffordable for small investors. It would be disastrous. So our proposition would take care of the shenanigans, and that when a property is indeed transferred by stock or by deed, it would trigger the reassessment of that property.
That makes perfect sense. We've got a couple minutes left for Prop 10. Once again, it's on the ballot. Does it take 50% to pass? Is that?
It does.
Okay. What's your feeling on what this legislation, if it passes, what do you think the effect will be?
The immediate effect is already being felt. Just the specter of this proposition passing has a number of builders and large developers that would have been in the planning stages, in the 15-year planning stage that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That builders had tongue-in-cheek mentioned. They're putting them on hold because this would disincentivize anybody from building badly needed rental units in the state of California, because they would be so heavily regulated that they no longer economically pencil out. In addition, if Proposition 10 were to pass, it would also allow cities and counties to enact very onerous rent control ordinances that would affect single-family homes. They would tell you what you could rent your single-family home that, in many cases, after 32 years as a realtor, I've sold a number of homes to mom and pop that have saved a little bit of money, and they're for their retirement, they purchased a property down the street or across the city where a small investment, and this would make this unaffordable for them, and it would severely limit people's ability to use that income when it's badly needed when they retire. So we're already seeing effects of what could be if Proposition 10 were to pass. It would diminish the amount of available rentals almost immediately.
Oh, absolutely. We speak in front of investors all the time, and that's one of the hot topics. And should I sell? That's the question. They want to know, should I get out now? Steve, we're out of time. We've been talking with Steve White, and he's the president of the California Association of Realtors. Steve, thanks for taking time to do that with us today.
My pleasure, Mr. Norris. Thank you.
You bet.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Guaranteed Rate, and Nathan Cheboya, Inaday Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jason Thorman with Coldwell Banker, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Las Brisas Escrow, Michael Ryan and Associates, New Western, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, The Outspoken Investor, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, Tri-County Association of Realtors. You direct IRA services. White House Catering. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.